Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we're learning what it means to be in God's presence.
I don't want to just visitation of the presence of God. I want to wake up with the presence of God. I want to go to sleep with the presence of God. I want the presence of God to be in my house, to be around me, to saturate. I want to walk with God, talk with God, speak with God, praise with God. I want more of God.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, president of Moody Bible Institute and the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Mark, a recurrent theme in your teaching is the presence of God. Let's face it, where would we be without it, huh?
Yes. And Wayne, so often we miss the very essence of what Christianity is about. It's about a relationship with the living God and His presence. And in the Old Testament, we experience God's presence different than in the New Testament. But this account found in 2 Samuel chapter 6, I think is a powerful, powerful passage that gives us some incredible insights into the presence of God and how to approach His presence.
Our series is simply titled Presence, and let's get into today's message from Mark Jobe right here on Bold Steps.
You cannot give what you have not received. Before you can be dispensers of His presence, you have to be receivers of His presence. Before we can overflow to our family with His presence, you have to be filled with His presence. Before this neighborhood can experience the overflow of the powerful, peacemaking, justice-bringing presence of God, we, as a church, need to be overflowing with this dynamic, powerful, manifest presence of God. Before you give, you have to receive. You cannot withdraw from something that has not been deposited. Some of you have tried it at the ATM machine. Doesn't work. Like, what's wrong with my card? No, it's not your card. It's an empty account. You got to put it in before it comes out. You have to receive before you can take or give. I can't give you something unless I've received something. You can't give hope unless you've received hope. You can't love unless you've been saturated with the love of God. You can't show mercy unless you've received mercy. You can't dispense wisdom unless it's been deposited inside of you. You cannot overflow in hope and faith unless you've received it first. And so I want to talk to you about the full manifestation of the presence of God out of this chapter in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Verses 1 through 15. Before I get into that, I love the verse in Exodus chapter 33 where Moses says to God, "Show me your glory." And I love what Moses says to God. He says to God, "God, I need your presence. And if you don't go with us, then I don't want to go. Because if your presence is not with us, what will distinguish us from all the other people in the world? Your presence is what makes the difference." Oh. You see, if we gather together and the presence of God is not here, we're just a religious gathering, a chatterbox. But when God is present in our meetings, in our gatherings, then something extraordinary happens, because there is power to heal, to change, to transform, to save, to take words that alter the destiny of people's lives. It's the power of the living God amongst us. I don't want to go forward. I remember praying years ago at 44th and Palina in the nursery on our knees with five other men. We were desperate for God. And I remember crying and praying to God, tears streaming down my face, overwhelmed as a 21-year-old pastor in the middle of a tough neighborhood and just not knowing what we could do or how we could bring about change. And I remember crying and praying with some men and saying, God, I quit unless you go with us. I refuse to keep ministering unless you show up. It's too big. It's too hard. I'm not in it, God, unless you're in it. Lord, if your presence is here, then I'll move forward with your presence. But don't ask me to move forward without your presence. 2 Samuel chapter 6. David again brought together all the able young men of Israel, 30,000. He and all his men went to Bala in Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who's enthroned between the cherubim on the ark. They set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on a hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the ark of God on it. Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all Israel were celebrating with all of their might before the Lord, with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. Let me give you a little bit of the background of this passage as we jump into it. The Ark of the Covenant was a small box, about 3 feet by 2 feet, a small box, gold-plated. Carved on top of the box were angels with wings that touched each other. Inside of the box, if you opened it up, were the tablets of the Ten Commandments, some manna, and a piece of Aaron's rod. Each of these symbolized times where God had manifested himself supernaturally among the people of Israel. The Ark of the Covenant, this little box, was the most holy, sacred item in all of Israel because it symbolized the presence of God. When you hear Ark of the Covenant, equate it to the presence of God. When people saw the ark, they thought the presence of God is coming with us. They took the ark and they put it in the most holy of holies, behind the curtain. People were not allowed to touch the ark because it was so holy. At one time, people looked in the ark because they were curious to see what was in there, and 70 people or so died because they opened up and just looked in the ark and they were forbidden to even look at it or touch it. It was the manifestation of the presence of God. Where they took the ark, they took the presence of God. David, who had become king, was building a city. He called it the City of David. We now know it as the City of Jerusalem. The ark was about 20 miles outside of the city of David in the house of a high priest named Abinadab. And so David, once he had built the city, he determined, I don't want to have the presence of God 20 miles outside of the city. I want the presence of God in my city. I want to be in the presence of God, not visit the presence of God. I want the presence of God to dwell among us, not just occasionally see the presence of God. I want more of God. You know, I dated my wife, Dee, for 3 years before we got married. Dating is to try to figure out, is this the person really I want to spend my life with? And so as we dated, I became more and more convinced, aha, she's the one. Not sure she was all that convinced, but I think I helped convince her. And the day came where I didn't want to just visit her, I wanted to live with her. I didn't want to just be friends with her. I wanted to marry her. I didn't want it to have separate places. I wanted to form a house together. I wanted to wake up in the morning and have her beside me. So the day came where the relationship changed. I popped the question, gave her a ring, and asked her to marry me because I didn't want to just visit her house. I wanted her to be in my house. How many of you know where I'm going with this? Some of you are visitors of the presence of God. You occasionally visit a place where God is. You're a sympathizer with the presence of God, like David was 20 miles away. He would visit occasionally, but the day comes where you say, I want more than just that. I don't want to just visitation of the presence of God. I want to wake up with the presence of God. I want to go to sleep with the presence of God. I want the presence of God to be in my house, to be around me, to saturate. I want to walk with God, talk with God, speak with God, praise with God. I want more of God.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe. We're pausing our message for just a moment to remind you to become a bold partner with this program today. Mark, we love our bold partners, don't we?
We really do. And you are the backbone of this ministry in terms of prayer and financial support. And this number is growing on a monthly basis. People that say, I want to donate and support this ministry monthly. There's some benefits with that as well, especially if there's a donation of $30 or more.
Right. That's a 50% discount on anything in the Moody Publishers catalog. So that's significant.
It is significant. And there's some great, great books out of the Moody Publishing catalog, including the Moody Commentary that even that discount was almost worth it right there.
Well, speaking of books, when you become a bold partner at any level, we'll send you Mark's book, Unstuck, and you'll sign those for our listeners.
Absolutely.
So become a bold partner today by going to boldstepsradio.org. Here's a listener, Susan in Savannah. It sounds like we made that up, but she's real. Susan in Savannah says, thank you, Dr. Mark Jobe. I've been listening to Bold Steps for the past year, and it has dramatically impacted my life in a positive way. I play the show on my Sonos, which is a wireless outdoor speaker within my backyard, she says. Neighbors around me come out and sit on their porches to listen as well. Whenever I'm able, I tell others about the show. Thank you very much, and please don't ever stop. Much love, Susan in Savannah.
I love that, Susan. That is awesome. I can just picture it right now. People on the back porch. You have some nice neighbors, it sounds
right.
like.
Right, yeah.
And wow, I love that story. You are being a witness there. And if your neighbors tell you to turn it down, please do. But I love the fact that you are letting that message be heard. That's beautiful. Susan, thank you. We appreciate all the messages that we get from all over the country. They are of great encouragement to our team.
Become a bold partner with us today. Go to boldstepsradio.org. Now, let's get back into learning about the presence of God as Mark continues today's message.
So David decided he was going to bring the ark to the new city that he had built. If you're taking notes, I want you to jot this down. There's a couple things about the presence of God that I really want you to understand. Number one, the presence of God refuses to be handled casually or carelessly. So the Bible says that David went out and built a new cart to carry the ark with oxen. And as he gathered 30,000 people and put together a big party to bring the ark 20 miles to the city of Jerusalem. 30,000 people gathered together. I mean, this was like the St. Patrick's Day parade downtown. There was a big group of people, and they were celebrating and singing and dancing and playing instruments, and this was a large, large group of people. And in the middle of this, they had the ark on a cart with oxen, and Uzzah and Ahio, the two sons of the priests, were walking along the cart as people were shouting and cheering as they were taking the Ark of the Lord, which symbolized the presence of God, to Jerusalem. And as they were celebrating and cheering and dancing and singing, moving the presence of God, something happened. I guess the streets there were kind of like the streets of Chicago. There were some potholes. And one of the wheels of the cart hit one of those potholes, and the ark started to bounce back and forth. And so one of the priests that was walking beside the ark, he raised his hand to steady the ark and to make sure it wouldn't topple over. And so he grabbed hold of the ark to steady it. All of the crowd that was around must have, whoa, that was close. They continued to dance, but something happened as soon as he lifted his hand up. When he took his hand down, the Bible says that immediately God struck him dead. If you've ever been in a parade, it takes a while for the people at the front of the parade to know what's happening in the back of the parade, right? So everybody stops and are looking at the body. People gasp and step aside. People start saying, shh, quiet, tell them to stop. Finally, the entire parade stops and they look. King David is brought over and he sees the body of the priest beside the cart and the ark. And it seems to me, when I read that at first, it's like, God, that seems a little extreme. I mean, give the guy a break. He's just trying to help you out a little bit. He didn't want the ark to fall on the ground, but no, there's much deeper sense of lesson that we gain from that. You see, there's a couple things we need to understand about this. First of all, the ark of God should never have been on a cart, because the law of Moses dictated that if you're going to move the ark, you have to do it on poles that priests are carrying, praising priests are carrying. You can't put it on a cart where slobbering oxen are carrying. You put in carts wheat and rocks and supplies. That's what you do with common things. But you don't treat as common the presence of God. Oh, we live in a society that has absolutely 100% little respect and regard for the things that are holy before God. In fact, do you realize in this passage that it said the ark is that which is the name of Almighty God? That in the Old Testament, the Hebrew people would not even utter the name of God because they had so much respect and were afraid that they would use the name of God in vain. They would whisper his name with fear, because they had respect. In fact, the word that we get now that we say Jehovah, which is a pretty poor translation of the name of God, it's better Yahweh, is made out of a compound where you take some of the vowels out of the word, because they didn't want to say the whole name of God. They wanted to whisper the name of God carefully. Or they would refer to it as the name. Or sometimes refer to it as him, but not whisper the name, because they were afraid to use the name of the Lord our God in vain. How far we've come from that, right? So now, how many of you, and I'm going to mess with you, some of you now, do you realize that one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not use the name of the Lord your God in vain? What does it mean to use the name of the Lord in vain? It means that you do not say it unless you are addressing him in prayer or you are talking directly to him. So in our culture, we use the name of the Lord God all the time. G-D it as a curse word. How many of you have used the name of Jesus as an exclamation point? How many times I hear people say Jesus and you're not calling on the name of the Lord, you're using it as an exclamation point, or followed by four-letter words. We started to use the name, and you say, well, I don't say that. I say golly. Well, you know, that's a euphemism. A euphemism is you use an aberration of the word that means the same thing as the word, you just don't say the word. Oh, I'm messing with you now. Gosh is an aberration of it. Golly is an aberration of it. The geez is an aberration of it. There's a lot of things. Our culture has utter disrespect for using the name of the Lord our God in vain because we have lost a sense of respect for the name that's above every name, the name that angels bow before and cover their face and cover their feet and fly around the throne of God and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All the earth is full of His glory. They dare utter that name, and yet we say it as a curse word. They had put the ark in a cart, a casual cart. And God said, you don't put it in a cart like the Philistines do. You put it on the shoulders of praising priests. You treat it with respect. You don't treat my presence casually or carelessly, for I am the Lord God Almighty. The other thing that happened is that Uzzah, who had been trained as a Levitical priest, he understood that you cannot touch the ark of God because it's holy. But sometimes we're raised around that which is holy and we become so familiar with it and so accustomed to it that we lose the awe of it. Do you realize that Proverbs tells us the beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. By fear, we don't mean that a negative type of fear. We mean this sense that you are awestruck by the magnificent presence and holiness of God. That when you think about God, it blows your mind. That He is awesome in power and might. And just like you would fear a huge tornado or have great respect for something that is incredibly powerful, you have that kind of fear of God because He's a burning fire. He's sovereign. He's always existed, will always exist. There is nothing outside of His reach or power. And so you have this awesome reverence for who He is. That is the fear of God. Uzzah had lost the fear of God, and so he touched what was holy when it wasn't his to touch it. And the Bible says that immediately he was struck dead. He had treated casually and carelessly that which was sacred and holy. Listen, when you come to pray before God, I'm talking about the presence of God. The presence of God is holy, it's pure, it's just. The presence of God has the power to bless, but the presence of God also has the power to do damage when it's put in the wrong place. God is a terrifying presence, holy and loving, but yet powerful at the same time. Uzzah lifted up his hand and touched that which he was not allowed to touch, that which was holy and sacred.
Learning how to live in the light of God's presence. This is Bold Steps, and you're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Job. Here at Bold Steps, we love getting listener letters like the one we heard earlier, and if you'd like to connect with us or share your story, we'd love to hear from you. Write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Or connect with us online when you go to boldstepsradio.org. And don't forget, we have our Be Bold contest where we want you to tell us about your bold statement of faith. So check that out online, Be Bold at boldstepsradio.org. You can also stay connected on your favorite social media platforms. You'll find us listed as Bold Steps Radio on Facebook and Instagram. And we look forward to seeing you there. Well, we have an excellent Bold Step gift to share with you this month. And here's Mark again to tell you all about it.
Every day we're bombarded with all kinds of messages from every direction. Messages telling us we need to worry, we need to remember the mistakes we've made, that we should be ashamed of our actions. But rarely do we catch the messages of hope, love, and freedom that God is trying to send us.
To shake up our negative routines and open up our ears to the truth of God, Chuck Swindoll wrote a book on this topic called A Life Well Lived. In this practical guide, Swindoll offers inspirational guidelines that are drawn from the book of Micah to show us how you can get past the pain and shame of failure. So if you or someone you know is struggling with feeling unworthy of God's love, we'd love to send you a copy of Chuck Swindoll's book, A Life Well Lived. This helpful book is yours with a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps.
Chuck Swindoll's book is called A Life Well Lived, and as Mark said, it's yours with a gift of any amount to support this ministry. Call 844-615-7363, 844-615-7363, or give online and request the book when you go to boldstepsradio.org. Thanks for being with us today. Be sure to join us again tomorrow when we'll discover how we can pursue the presence of God. Our message comes from our brand new series called Presence. You'll hear it here Thursday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.